I invite you to turn to Proverbs once again. We'll look at Proverbs 27, verse 2. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Verse 2 of 27 says, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." This is the Word of God. Every time we come to this part of the service, the confession of sin, one of my goals is to remind you that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And as a new creation, there's these sins of the old man that cling to you, but they are to be put to death. They are to be done away with. And so as you come to this exhortation, we should all be desiring that sin be exposed for the folly that it really is. We should desire the public takedown of sin amongst us. We want sin to be humiliated and then executed. And this morning I want to do an attack upon pride, the pride that we sometimes struggle with still, as this proverb describes it. In particular, this proverb says that one of the primary ways pride is manifested is by praising ourselves. It says, you should not praise yourself, that is the job of others to do. When you praise yourself, it is one of the most blatant forms of glorifying yourself. One of the most blatant forms of pride. In fact, it's not a very acceptable practice, is it? Even outside the church, if you look at an awards ceremony, somebody gets up there and they receive their award, well, it's expected that they're going to thank people for getting them to that point, right? I thank my mom, I thank my dad. But none of us want to hear that person get up at that awards ceremony and say, "You all are so privileged to have me around. There's nobody like me." It's not acceptable, right? Even in that context, and it's even much less acceptable in the body of Christ for us to go around praising ourselves to each other. None of us like to hear that. But yet, we hear somebody else do that, and there's still pride in our own hearts that we struggle with. We're disgusted when somebody goes and glorifies themselves, and yet we do that in our own minds, don't we? And we must remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ, by definition, is an attack upon our pride. The gospel says that you are messed up. You are very messed up. You are messed up beyond recovery. You cannot recover yourself in your own strength. But there is one who can redeem you, Jesus Christ. He can recover you. He can redeem you. But you can't save yourself. That's what the gospel says, and that is a humbling gospel. That is why many reject the gospel, because it is so humbling. It is such an attack upon human pride to have to accept that truth about ourselves. In fact, John 12, in the Gospels, it's described here how some would not receive the truth of Jesus because of their pride. So this is John 12, verse 42. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They couldn't receive it. They loved the praise of men. They had to have the Pharisees' acceptance and approval, and so they couldn't accept Jesus. And so many also turn away from the gospel as a result. But if you are a new creature, a new creation in Christ, you should want that pride destroyed, and you should receive the fact that you are a sinner and Jesus is the only one that can save you. But going back to the proverb, it does say first that you shouldn't praise yourself, but that somebody else should praise you. But let's begin with self-praise. Why is self-praise such a foolish thing to do? Perhaps you've noticed that it's a little easier to avoid praising yourself with your own lips. It's a lot harder to not praise yourself in your own mind. That's what I've found. I know it's not socially acceptable to praise myself in front of others. But what if I just praise myself in my own mind? And one might think that's even safe to do. It's just in my head. I am just praising myself in my head. And yet it's not a safe thing for us, brothers and sisters, because first of all, it's dishonoring to God for us to boast about ourselves in our own minds. And then the second reason is that it's so dangerous to us because it bolsters our pride. It lifts us up rather than destroying the pride that needs to be destroyed. I want to give you three reasons why it is foolish to praise yourself either with your lips or in your own thoughts. Three reasons. The first is you are a sinner deserving of God's eternal judgment. This is the first foundational fact that you need to remember about yourself. You remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? The words of the tax collector in Luke 18. It says, the tax collector stood afar off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That must be our perspective of ourselves. The Pharisee was off praising himself in his prayer, praying and praising himself of all places. But for us, we must say the same thing as the tax collector. God, be merciful to me. I'm not even worthy to raise my eyes to heaven. Secondly, the second reason that it is foolish to praise ourselves is that anything you have is a gift from God. Anything. Remember 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you indeed received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Imagine a father giving his son a $100,000 sports car. Just a gift. And this young man goes around town telling all his friends how he saved for the last 10 years to buy this car. Look at what I've purchased. He didn't receive it. He's lying. He didn't save up for it. He received it as a gift. It was given to him by his father. He didn't do anything to deserve it. He didn't work hard for it. And so it is with us. Whatever we receive in this life is a gift, and we are not to boast about it. Thirdly, it is the grace of God if you accomplish anything valuable or good in your life. It's the grace of God. This is how Paul described his ministry in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So on one hand, Paul can say, I labored, I worked hard, but it was the grace of God that enabled all of that to happen. And so whatever good comes from your life, whatever valuable things God does in you is the grace of God, brothers and sisters. It's not to be boasted about. So if you take these three facts, we have all the reason in the world to demolish this foolish self-praise that we are tempted to indulge in. The proverb does say, though, that others can praise us. That's appropriate for others to praise us. There's an appropriate way for others to praise us. It says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. What is the God-glorifying way to praise someone else? How do we do this without bolstering their pride? Well, when we do that, sometimes we can't control necessarily what happens in the heart of somebody else, right? We can't control that part. Nevertheless, the way in which we praise others is really important. Our language must reflect truth, and it must bring praise to God. That's key. When we praise others, if we believe those three facts that I mentioned earlier, then whatever good is in this person's life is from God. And therefore, I must praise them giving praise to God. Romans 11 tells us that from him, through him, and to him are all things. And that must direct the way that we encourage and affirm and praise others. For example, an expression of gratitude to God is a way we can praise others. Think about how the New Testament, some of the writers of the New Testament would write, I thank God for you in all my prayers. That's thanking God. We are praising them in a sense. We're thankful for them, but we're praising God and thanking God for them. Another way is when we affirm God's sanctifying work in somebody else. You see somebody that's compassionate? And what do you say? What you need to say is, the Lord has really given you a gift in this area. I'm thankful for the work that God has done in your life. That's how we affirm. That's how we praise in a God-glorifying way, because we're recognizing the source of all those things. And so we must, in our praise of one another, praise God. Glorify God at all times. So this morning we confess that we have thought too highly of ourselves, either in our own words or in our thoughts. How quickly we can forget that we are deserving of God's judgment. How quickly we can forget the grace that we've received. And we come to confess this sin with great assurance of God's grace to those who humble themselves, because the Lord has said in His Word that God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to those who humble themselves. And so I invite you to humble yourself before the Lord. Come humbly to this throne of grace and receive God's mercy. And as we enter this time of confession, I invite you to bring your sins that you have committed against the Lord to the throne of grace. If you come by faith in Jesus Christ, you can be assured that He will forgive you of all of your sins. Whether it's pride or whether it's something else, this is a time to confess and to receive God's promise of pardon through Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do confess that we still struggle at times with this temptation towards pride, towards praising ourselves. And yet we know and we see how foolish it is to be proud, because we are sinners, and anything we have is a gift from Your hand. We ask that You would forgive us for the prideful words that we've spoken about ourselves. We ask that You would forgive us for our prideful thoughts. Grant us, O Lord, a deep humility, that we would not engage in hypocrisy and say that we need Jesus and yet think such high thoughts about ourselves. And we humble ourselves this morning asking for Your forgiveness, knowing that You will give grace to the humble. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.